This could be his big chance. Most of the military was on his side, plus some of the civilian scientists. It was a good opportunity. Wallace had never had anyone invade his base before. Let him make a mess of things, then step in to clean up. That way Murphy could avoid any blame as well. He allowed himself a brief wave of optimism. This might just go his way.
Murphy, get yourself ready, boy. We're coming in, now.
Murphy turned to the other segment in the WAG.
This is it, men. Operation Munich.
Now, sir?
Hell yeah! What better time? These scum can fight it out with the Gen and his people, then we pick up the pieces and take control.
How do we let the others know?
Word of mouth, boy. Now heads up! It's all starting to come down.
The sector was grinding to life, rising slowly. From his position behind the arch, Ryan could see how slowly the door was rising. And to his amazement, he could see the SecMan on the other side, just standing there, waiting for the door to finish its job. Standing unprotected and without cover, he risked a backward glimpse, catching the astonished faces of JB, Jack, and Dean. It seemed so incredible that for a second they were all frozen to inaction by the idiocy of Wallace's tactics. Mildred raised her ZKR in a two-handed competition stance, feeling sheltered by the arch, and took aim. The crack of the ZKR was high and clear, breaking across the low rumble of the opening door.
Oh, my knee! My fucking knee!
That broke the spell. Falling to his belly, the Steyr raised slightly on his shoulder, Ryan fired. Simultaneously, JB had moved forward to get a better sweep of fire with his M4000. The barbed steel flechettes loaded into his blaster, spreading out in a deadly hail that ripped at the knees, thighs, and groins of the SecMan on the other side of the door. The flechettes spelled death rather than pain as they gouged at high velocity into faces and throats, ripping out flesh and artery. The door was now three-quarters of the way up, the bodies of the SecMan still standing, now fully exposed. In the confusion and mayhem, some of them still had their blasters down. They died in a hail of slugs and shells from the homemade blasters of the Vill-dwellers. The shooting was erratic, and some of the raiding party forgot the tactics they'd been taught, lost in the bloodlust and the heady excitement of a victory that seemed within their grasp. They stepped into the open and were mowed down by the surviving SecMen, Uzi and H&K fire sweeping across the space between the arches and the WAGs. Four of the raiding party bought it, and in his WAG, Murphy wondered what the hell was going on. He and his own men were trapped. Mildred continued to pick off SecMen with clean, precise shots, as did Christy and Dean. Jack was distracted by the need to try to rein in some of the raiding party before they were all wiped out, lessening the chance of recovering Doc and reaching the Matt Trans.
Back! Back now!
In confusion, the remaining Sector started to pull back, covering themselves.
Perfect. Bailey, go! Go now! Let's get out of the immediate area and get organized! I couldn't have expected more!
Sir, those are our men!
Maybe. But if we don't move, there won't be any left, will there?
Yes, sir.
Bailey slung the vehicle into first gear and touched the accelerator. The WAG moved beyond the open sector, skidding on the concrete floor, which was slick with the blood of their dead fellows. The second WAG automatically followed. It left the raiding party on its own, suddenly cut off without a visible enemy, and the echo of the firefight still ringing in its ears.
Have we got them on the run, Ryan? Or is there something going on here that we don't know about? There's no way this is the end, right?
Reckon there's something going on between Murphy and Wallace. If we're lucky, then it might help us get what we want.
And if we're not?
Then we might buy the farm.
They turned back to where JB and Jack were trying to subdue the triumphant outsiders. Abner was one of the most vocal. Ryan cast a quizzical glance at Mac, who shrugged.
Old man hasn't been in a firefight for years. Guess he's just overexcited.
He'd better calm down or it'll get you all chilled.
Right.
When they reached the group, clustered in front of the WAGs, Abner and the others had been calmed considerably by words from Christy and Mildred. For some reason, they were more inclined to listen to them than to Dean or Jack.
It's because they look on them as kids, despite the fact they could outfight most of us.
JB stood a little apart from the rest, checking his Uzi, then reloading the M4000.
Ryan!
What is it, JP?
I'm worried.
About these stoops?
Nope. Me. This ankle. If I get left behind, don't worry about me too much. I'll find a way to...
No. We'll split up with different objectives, but no one gets left behind. Fireblast, we might even find Doc.
You think he's still alive?
Wallace wanted him for a reason. He's not likely to have chilled him just like that.
The one-eyed warrior turned his attention back to the main group, going over to them, with JB close behind.
They're on the run, but not because of us. There's something else going on here, and we need to find out what it is.
We are under attack. Wallace is not the man he was. We sense that he isn't the same man. How much time has passed since we were joined together? What has occurred outside in that time? And part of us wants to know why, when we have this capacity, we spend our time using just a fraction of it to run this base.
The amorphous mass of men moved across a landscape of burned-out rubble and rotting corpses. Doc had discovered that this was how the Mobius spent most of its time, if time was a concept that could exist to something so alien to human experience, moving across the logical conclusions of its purpose, simulated in a vista that continued forever. And now, there was real danger on the outside, and the mechanism was powerless to do anything about it. It flailed about in its imaginary landscape, recording and assimilating impressions from the outside, impotent to do anything except keep the redoubt running, and suddenly realizing its impotence as it came under attack for the first time in its long life. Doc, knowing from the assembled data who was invading the redoubt, tried to block that knowledge from the rest of the mechanism to stop it from using all he knew about his companions to defeat them.
We are dividing. Why does Dr. Tanner wish to leave us?
Wallace was in his office when Murphy burst in with six armed soldiers behind him. The gen was sitting at his desk, calmly reading the regs, as though they comprised a holy book, which to him it was.
Ah, I was wondering when you would get here.
You guessed, then.
Murphy's blue 9mm Beretta trained on a spot between the gen's eyes.
Oh, I knew that you had plans. Very well. You think that you can usurp the chain of command? Let's see what you make of these outsiders.
More than you have. There were some good men mowed down out there.
If you expect me to believe that you really care about those men, you must think I'm a bigger stoop than the outsider scum. You have a wooden heart, and your men will learn the hard way.
Murphy ground his teeth, repressing the urge to rant at the gen, to pistol-whip him now that he had him at his mercy. Instead, he turned to the men behind him.
You and you, guard him! The rest of you come with me. Spread the word that we're in charge now. Things are going to be different. Gen Wallace, I'll deal with you later.
I wish I had your confidence in you, boy.
Right.
Murphy left the room. His plan was simple. Position Secman so that he could guide the raiding party down a certain path, ensuring that they could be trapped and chilled with a minimum of fuss. After all, they had only seen the redoubt once, so they would have no idea where they were going. This overconfident reasoning neglected the fact that he'd witnessed their ability to find their way around the base when they had earlier escaped from his guard. But Murphy was high on his own sense of victory, and his memory had become selective. Ryan and JB had split the forces. The armorer and Mildred had taken three men and were to try to locate Doc. Their objective after this, regardless of result, was to secure the Mat-Trans unit. Ryan and the others, including Abner, Mac, and the other three Vill-dwellers, were to try to eliminate Murphy and Wallace, and use the Plasex that they knew to be in the armory to mine the redoubt and bring it down once and for all. The combined party made its way down the corridors of the redoubt, headed for the point where their paths would diverge. Ryan took the lead, followed by his friends and the outsiders, who were beginning to show their lack of experience in a combat situation. Their initial bravado had given way to nervousness, and their tension crackled from man to man, making them jumpy. It was something Ryan wanted to avoid, an itchy finger on a blaster trigger, and it was likely to be one of their own party that bought the farm, rather than any of the redoubt sec men. So his people were there to calm them down, keep them relaxed by their own vigilance. But so far, The corridors had been deserted. It was something that Ryan had expected. The tactics used by the Redoubt Sec men seemed to be along these lines, if Wallace were running things. But what if it were Murphy now? What if the two factions were at war with each other? Ryan didn't want to contemplate being caught in the crossfire of the two groups. They came to a junction in the corridors. Ryan halted the line and flattened himself to the wall, edging forward until he was at the corner. He picked up a discarded clipboard from where it had been thrown to the floor. With a flick of the wrist, he tossed the board into the gap where the two corridors joined. JB's keenly trained ears picked out four men firing. He held up four fingers when the one-eyed warrior looked back at him. Ryan nodded his agreement. His own hearing had picked out the same amount of fire. As the corridor ahead was clear as far as they could see, it was obvious that this was the direction Murphy or Wallace wanted them to proceed. It was taking them away from the elevators down to the armory, but there were other ways to get there. First, they had to get across the junction.
Mac?
Yeah?
Listen up.
Ryan whispered an instruction in Mac's ear. The fat sec man nodded and turned to relay instructions to Abner and the other Ville dwellers. JB moved up to Ryan's side.
The usual?
Mm-hmm.
JB shouldered his Uzi and checked the M4000. The deadly load of barbed steel flechettes was in place. He pushed his fedora back on his head and looked Ryan in the eye.
Let's go. 1, 2, 3.
JB stepped into the open long enough to let loose a blast of flechettes. The four set men were strung out across the width of the corridor, crouched behind makeshift barriers made of tables. Two of them caught the largest cluster of fire, the barbed flechettes ripping away flesh in searing agony. Their companions flattened themselves to the floor, thankful they escaped the brunt of the charge. Ryan had flung himself across the gap and stood ready to provide covering fire. The two surviving sec men opened fire. They were situated on each side of the corridor and were well protected.
Shit.
JB was relatively ill-equipped, but he made do with firing another load of flechettes at the nearer sec man, while Ryan concentrated his fire on the man on his side. It was enough to allow Mac and Abner to cross as one, the sec man helping his baron to make the crossing quickly, using his bulk to shield the even fatter old man. The flechettes were once more effective. By looking up at the wrong moment, the sec man in the line of fire lost both his eyes and most of his face to the barbed metal. The sec man on Ryan's side of the corridor was proving more tenacious. He kept his head down, and the barrage from the H&K picked holes around him but didn't touch him. He returned the fire sporadically. JB switched to his Uzi, unwilling to waste too much of his M4000's ammo when it wouldn't be truly effective. But the sec man was lucky and hung on, managing to avoid being hit by the blaster fire from two directions. He also got off bursts of his own, making it a tricky business for the rest of the party to get across the divide. Mildred finished matters when she made the crossing. She shook her head so that her plaits swirled around her head.
That boy is really irritating me.
Timing herself so that she acted in complete synchronization with Ryan, Mildred flung herself to the floor as he swung out to fire a burst of cover. Bracing her elbows on the concrete to give her aim enough elevation, she sighted in the sec man as his head appeared as he returned fire. One crack of the ZKR and he was silenced, a small hole drilled neatly in the middle of his forehead.
Now let's get going.
The remainder of the party crossed.
If the blasters and plastics are down there, why don't we go that way?
That way we'll be well guarded. We're being pushed this way for a reason.
Then surely we should surprise the bastards by going the way they don't expect.
We will, but it won't be that way.
Christy gave Ryan a puzzled look for a second. Then a smile spread across her face.
Right, lover. Wallace and Murphy think we only know the way we went before, so they're guiding us that way and making sure we don't take another path. But all the sec cameras are out along here because we shot them out.
Right. And these two bastards don't know that we've been in other redoubts, or that they're all basically the same.
You've lost me, friend. As far as I can see, you're just leading us into their trap.
No, I get it. They can't watch us along here and expect us to end up at the end. But we won't, 'cause you know how there's another way out.
Got it in one. Now let's go.
They proceeded along the corridor, strung out in formation, as before. The set cameras were all inoperable, and there were no more corridor junctions for some way.